Now we're trying to the evening, may change a little bit as I invite David Stark to come forward. And he's going to tell you some fishing stories together with some sheer tales of survival on Kangaroo Island.
Yeah, this is a trick, isn't it? I've been asked to chat about a few adventures this evening in regards to Bob's love of the ocean and fishing. As we all know, there are many sides to Bob, Bobby and Rob. I've only ever heard Jill call him Rob. Before my time as second mate, I've been advised that Captain Bob had a few minor incidents with boating activities. Jonathan's recollections will confirm this a little bit later. I first met Bob at this fine establishment, and of course, Captain Bob did everything for me. That was in his opinion only. He claims he set me up in business thanks to those leaky Fowlerware products that he sold. Many of you know they still leak today. Bob taught me how to play rugby and advised me on every single mistake I ever made. He was never short of any dry wits. So. Well, the fishing stories. How many weeks do we have? Every trip with Captain Bob was an adventure, a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and all ended up with lots of laughter, lots of beers, and especially while cleaning our catch. Bob was a gun fisherman. You only had to ask him that, he'd tell you. During the filleting, Bob would mostly stare at the biggest fish and comment how tough it was to pull it into the boat. He would supervise the filleting, occasionally getting us a beer out of the esky. After all, Bob was the captain. For ease and partial memory failure, I'd like to skip over the Coorong trips, the sinking of the tinny, complete with all the kids floating around in the water, the tent, no poles, just forgot those, Bob. The creosote, bonfire wood that melted your eyelids to Alice. Just too many adventures and too little time. So let's stick to the last three adventures. In Kangaroo Island, Captain Bob, he liked to fish for 3 days straight and would wake up at sunrise and be pacing up and down outside. And he was so eager to get onto the water that I thought the only way to slow him up was to tell him that his rigs were all wrong, and so he busily changed his rigs, and then I would have time for a little bit of breakfast. Then he could always change them back later. You know? He just loved making rigs and undoing tangles. Trip one. Bob, Sean Beaton, and myself. Glorious sunshine. There was plenty of whiting and squid, crayfish, dead calm water. The usual dolphins, seals, the sea eagle experience. Just perfect. So perfect that one very hot day, we all ended up in the sandy bay, water up to our necks, scoffing down crayfish, and drinking top shelf Chardonnay out of huge wine glasses. Commenting and wondering what all the movie stars were doing, there was a unanimous vote, nothing like we were. Trip two was Bob, Sean, Beaton and Ray Murphy, the perfect storm. The day before they all arrived, I caught 6 crayfish and the pots were 5 kilometres offshore in Kangaroo Island. Captain Bob was very keen. I pointed out to the northwest, as I could see storm clouds over Douglas Mawson's house. I've seen this before, and I thought, danger. anger. The flat ocean can turn into an 8-foot swell in just a couple of minutes. Captain Bob assured me that the crew would pull up the pots in minutes, we would load our bounty and be back on shore before Douglas Mawson knew what was happening. Sounded great. We zoomed out on the dead flat seas. The captain and his trusty crew, Sean and Ray, started pulling the pots up, but quickly realised they were not in 20 foot of water, but in fact 140 foot. It was quickly apparent their hands were not conditioned for this sort of work, nor were their office chair backs. All the yelling and the screaming from Captain Bob did not help. Then, in just a couple of minutes, Douglas Mawson sent in the storm clouds with raindrops just like smashing water balloons. He quickly added 50 kilometre of wind, then put in just a little whiteout and a bit of sea mist just to top up the wow factor. We then decided we'll abandon the pots, leave them where they are. The water was pouring out of, with water pouring out of every orifice and bathing the boat to empty the water, I asked Captain Bob and his crew which way was home to Pebbly Beach. Deathly silence. The look of horror I'll never forget. Luckily, I unveiled a secret weapon, the GPS. I punched in Pebbly Beach and followed the arrow. The exhausted crew stand quiet like garden water features. We battle our way into the mist of the torrential rain, hoping the GPS is correct. Finally, land ahead. The faces and the mood change very quickly. So we give instructions. With a massive swell, landing on the ramp is going to be really difficult. We must all jump overboard and hold the boat while I back the boat trailer into the water. Sorry, men, you're going to get wet. Empty your pockets. Keep clear of the boat and the trailer. Like Vikings landing on the coast. Everyone overboard. I run to the car and to the trailer and I turn around and there is Captain Bob standing in the boat. Just like a shore dummy. Could he have a listening disorder? Did he have his best shoes on? Who would know? Anyhow, all good. We landed the boat, all safe and well, all wet, no crayfish. The rest of the trip was consumed with just wine tasting. Do you think Captain Bob got a flogging? Yeah, let's talk about adventure, Bob. Well, trip number three was a little bit different. There was Bob, Sean Beaton and Ray Murphy, and this one I call the ultimate trip. The captain and his crew, they arrived and it was just a perfect day. It was tuna all off of the coast of Kangaroo Island. I said, don't worry about unpacking, there's no time for that. They're very close, and this suits Bob to a T, of course. For some reason, I go soft on Bob. We actually load him into the boat whilst the boat's on land, and we launch him like Father Christmas float in John Martin's Christmas pageant. Did not even get 1 foot wet. Minutes later, we're into 20 kilo tuna. Naturally, Captain Bob got the lower end of the scale. Bob loved it. The squealing of the drag, the bent rod, the excitement, the ongoing sledging, the support from the entire crew. It was special, and he knew it, and we knew it. We had bagged out. We pulled the pots for only 4 crayfish, and then we caught shark and whiting. What a trip, what an adventure. All finished with top seafood, matching wine, chatting into the early hours, with Bob saying, hold up, whenever the banter got too much between the continuous laughter. Someone recently commented, Bob thought he should not go fishing again. That last trip would be too hard to beat. That was Bob. I did ask Bob if he thought he would ever, if we would ever find another fishing spot again without his expertise and his brilliant memory. Bob somehow I think we will. Just for you. Thanks, Captain Bob, for all the adventures and the laughs.